You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. So Brett, welcome to the show. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And by the way, friends, if you're listening to the audio version, don't forget we're now on video as well. The video people can see all of Brett's background for all of his Capital Gains Tax Solutions podcast, which doesn't sound sexy and exciting until you realize that hashtag taxation is theft and there's ways to mitigate your tax burden. So Brett, welcome to the show. Tell our people a little bit about who you are, what you do, and you know, just give them a little bit of background. How did you wind up messing around with tax?
Yes, thank you so much. So I originally fell in love with real estate at a young age, helping my dad buy and sell and build residential real estate in the Bay Area. And I called this the MC Hammer days. And it was the days where people were in the hammer pants. And so I would drive to the job site, I would nail the hammers, boom, and I would help move bricks. And I fell in love with real estate at a young age and then moved to a company called Marcus & Millichap as I got older and learned about investment real estate and how people can buy and sell multifamily properties and add value and defer tax through 1031 exchanges. And it became my calling to help people solve problems with this. And I also have a competitive background, played sports in college and in high school. And so as a part of that, I like working on teams and educating and helping people. So although along that time I was newly married, baby at home, and the wall hit. What was the wall? It was a 2008 crisis and people got absolutely hammered. And some people lost everything because they overpaid for a 1031, taking on too much debt within a short 180-day window. And so I sought out on a journey to help my clients, friends, and family escape feeling trapped by capital gains tax all and forever, right? And what was that? Well, at the time, my manager brought in a gentleman to speak about the deferred sales trust. And my career's never been the same, and it helped me support my family. I have five kids now, and so here we are educating everyone we can about it.
So it's interesting to think about the 1031 tax-free exchange. And by the way, if you're listening to this podcast or watching it, if you're not a realtor, that is an investment tool that we use for investors. And most people who use 1031 are small investors like me. It's not like some giant big money corporate evil thing. It's a normal person thing to help you improve your leverage situation. Most of us can help you with that. But if you're a realtor listening to this and you don't know 1031s, you need to get educated right quick and please don't do things you don't know about. But we're recording this. Why is my phone buzzing? That was weird. So during the coronavirus situation, we have obviously, we're recording this during coronavirus, we're all at stay at home. And the markets have gone quiet. So for somebody that was midstream on a 1031 and they only had the 180 days to identify their replacement, they could be in a world of hurt. We're still waiting on some guidance from that, from the feds, if they're going to give an extension. Because long way of saying this, Brett mentions that some people have purchased quickly because of the time frame and didn't make the best investment choices. So we could be seeing that reawaken during the coronavirus when there's fewer options. But all of that being said, I'll turn it back over to you. Talk for a minute about the things that you've seen in coming through the Great Recession, coming into a new normal, and now we're in the great unknown. you're obviously looking out for the future of 5 kids. You created the solutions to help other people find solutions so they can save money. So what do you see in the way of mistakes that people make besides the fact they can't control timing?
Yeah, they take on too much debt. What I call it is called dumb debt. So the time to get out of debt is in a time like this. You want liquidity, diversification, and you don't want to necessarily buy a property just to buy it. You kind of want to be on the sidelines. Actually, you want to be on the sidelines. You want to wait and see if you can buy at a discount. So our parents, Lee, taught us to sell high and buy low, not sell high and buy higher 180 days later. And unfortunately, that's what the 1031 too often forces people to do. And the second one is equal or greater value, which means you need to buy a property of equal or greater value, which means equal or greater debt. And so I just closed a deal, for example, in Georgia. Okay, it's a $7.6 million apartment complex sale. And that gentleman had $4.5 million of debt. Now, he sold right before Corona hit, and the funds are sitting at a qualified intermediary, and he's looking at his options, and he's looking at these properties in North Carolina, and he's going, these 4.5, 5.5 cap rates, they don't make any sense. So he just was waiting and waiting and waiting. All of a sudden, Corona hits, and he's like, I'm definitely not buying. I don't want to touch real estate for at least 3, 6, 12 months to see what shakes out.
Right.
That's when he used the deferred sales trust for the first time, move all the funds into the trust. Now he's sitting tax deferred on the sidelines, out of debt, liquid and diversified, poised to strike back into real estate, which could be tomorrow or day 181 or 5 years from now, all so that he can create and preserve more wealth. So that's the number one thing to understand is do not let the tax tail wag the real estate dog. You don't want to overpay for a property just because you want to defer tax. And that's where I think we are the perfect solution to give you the best of both worlds.
Okay. So thinking about that, y'all, it's really critical that you know we are in pretty complex space here. So anytime we're talking about these kind of investment strategies, you should talk to your CPA and your financial attorney, any of those people who look over your stuff with you. This is never something you do. You listen to a podcast, you're like, hell yeah, I'm going to do a 1031 and a trust. Mm-mm. Do your homework, do a little bit of work. But Brett, you also made the point that our parents taught us to sell high and buy low, which is actually the opposite of how most humans operate, because human nature is to buy high and sell low because you let your emotions overrun you. So what do you give as advice to your clients when their emotions are riding high? So during coronavirus, the stock market has been wildly volatile, which is, of course, what equities markets do. When things are uncertain, equities markets go wild, and people tend to react to that negatively. So what are you telling your clients to get them to have a little bit of zen while we work through odd times?
Yeah, there's wisdom in many counselors. So surrounding yourself or building a team around you of folks who are going to give you your financial advisor, your CPA, your tax attorney, your realtor, your commercial real estate broker, all of these folks, and for us, it would be your capital gains tax deferral expert to help navigate all of these moving parts. That's the first thing. Make sure you have a team. Before that, hopefully you already had a plan. Hopefully you already had reserves. Hopefully you already kind of saw this coming and you were maybe getting a little more liquidity, right? And you may be getting a little bit less out of debt. And so it's sort of hard if you don't already have what I call a tax-deferred wealth, optimal timing wealth plan in place already, and that's what we've been encouraging people to have for a while. But assuming you don't have that, just strictly speaking of your emotions, perhaps you want to diversify right now. Perhaps you do want to take on more reserves. Perhaps you want to sell that property that still has that value, perhaps before it drops. So anything that can just kind of protect, you're moving to a more of a preservation scenario, and you're getting advice from each of those to how to help best do that. So that would be my suggestion.
I love that phrase, the optimal timing wealth plan. That's freaking awesome. I mean, right now, I could tell you that most of the people that would like to buy are not liquid, and the ones that are liquid aren't ready to buy. And as a realtor of 20 years, the biggest frustration I have with people is they're like, man, where can I get a house for 20% off? And I'm like, man, call me back in 2011, because that's when you could steal houses, but you didn't do it. And so this optimal timing says, my guess is you advise people to always have something liquid somewhere so that you can take advantage of opportunities. And how do they stay liquid without in really kicking in any tax consequences and being in a hard spot?
Great question. So according to the American Bankers Association, there's about $17 to $20 trillion, Lee, that's going to pass from one generation to the next in the next 20 years. And this is known as the baby boomer generation. And it's the largest wealth transfer in the history of the planet. Okay, and I want you to think about this. Every single day, there's about 10,000 baby boomers in the U.S. alone that is turning 65. And there's about 77 million in the U.S. alone. And what are they faced with? Toilets, trash, liability, businesses. Okay, a lot of things that take up with their time, energy. And they want to trade it for retirement, travel, less debt or no debt, liquidity to enjoy their wealth. But they feel trapped. What are they trapped by? They're trapped by the 30 to 50% in capital gains tax and depreciation recapture. So they got to find a tool or a way to get them out of that, to get them to the state they want to be in. So the best way we found to do that is the deferred sales trust, because you don't have to put it in like-kind real estate. You can put it in stocks, bonds, mutual funds. Once the trust funds are in there, we don't have to follow the like-kind. You can put it into hard money lending so you can diversify. You can put it into other pieces of real estate. So when you actually sell the asset, we pay off all the debt and we move the proceeds into this trust. And now you're in a tax deferral state until and if you receive it. And by liquidity, we mean trade plus three, meaning you can access the funds by selling out of securities. Or a lot of people just put it in hard money lending. They don't. For me, I'm a real estate guy. I don't necessarily like securities per se, right? Look at the stock market. It dropped 35, 40% in 2 weeks. So I prefer real estate. That being said, there's a time and a place to buy real estate and a time and a place to buy stocks, maybe when they're low, like right now. And then to redeploy when it makes sense for you. So the key is, what are you trying to do? What is your vision? What is your current stage of life? And how do we basically make this wealth plan that matches up what you've envisioned your life to be? And that being said, if you're a business professional, we want to empower you with this strategy so you can grow your business too. Because let's face it, automation is challenging the value proposition of every realtor, every financial advisor, every commercial real estate broker, and even before Corona, right? But especially now with Corona,
right,
it's going to accelerate what was already there. So how are you adding value? How are you justifying your 3, 4, 5, 6% fee? Well, if you can walk into a situation and save somebody $300,000 in tax, like we just did for a single family homeowner in Cupertino who sold her home, and above and beyond her 121 exclusion, which basically states if you lived there two of the last 5 years, Lee, you have 250 cash tax-free or 500 if you're married tax-free. Well, above that, her property's worth $3.1 million. So what does she do? Well, she's in this big house. She has all this debt, and it's a single family home, primary home, is to us is not an investment. It's a liability. An investment is when you can take that capital, which she did, she sold, pay off the debt, and put it into an asset that's a producing cash flow. And so that's exactly how you do that. You trade the illiquid assets, you move them into liquid assets, but you do it all tax deferred.
So what's the time frame money can stay in that deferred trust that before it has to be deployed? Is there a time frame, or is that one of the magic keys here?
Exactly. Since we're IRC 453, by the way, if anyone ever reads you a brand new tax code, you want to ask them, or tax strategy, what's the tax code? It's IRC 453, which is also known as an installment sale, a seller carryback. That's the foundation of our structure, okay? But we do a specialized version of this versus IRC 1031, right? Which has all the timing restrictions. So they're both tax deferral strategies, but IRC 453 has zero timing, zero restrictions. So they can stay in there for as long as you want. Most of our notes go for 10 years, Lee. At the end of 10 years, you can renew for 10. Just keep renewing it. And then you can pass it on to your kids inside of your living trust, and they can remain tax deferred as well. Most of our clients like to pay the tax the second day to never. Most will keep the principal intact, and they'll just live off the interest. So let's just say it was $1 million sale, and you would have paid $400,000 of tax. Well, you can have 600, or you could have $1 million minus some fees. Most people want to pick the $1 million minus some fees. Now it's there, right? And now you wait for the deal to come up. And this is the key. You can form a brand new LLC whenever you want. And it's kind of like a self-directed IRA. You can direct the funds to that LLC. And guess what? Go buy a brand new property, all tax deferred, and also with a brand new depreciation schedule, which is a whole nother onion we can unpeel.
All right. So what I hope you guys are hearing in this is that if you pay attention to tax code, there's over 68,000 pages in the U.S. tax code, which is why nobody knows all of the things in it. And even your IRS agents are completely clueless as to most of it. And that's why you need a team of professionals who can help you figure out the ins and outs. So, Brett, knowing that your strategy sounds pretty daunting to a normal person, it sounds like only a high net worth individual solution. Can a regular person take advantage of this, and how do they get started in protecting their assets for the long term so they can grow into a high net worth individual?
Great question. So our average deal is $2.6 million, and we're deferring somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 in liability. Our minimum deal that we makes sense, we found, is $500,000 of proceeds and $100,000 or more in tax liability. So if your deal is $300,000 and you're deferring $50,000 in tax, sorry, it's too small. But if it's $500,000 in proceeds and $100,000 more, then we'd say, why is that? Because our fees will eat up the savings, and it just doesn't make any sense. Now, if you have one, two, or three of those properties and you're going to be selling them soon, and collectively they add up to more than the $500,000 proceeds and $100,000 in liability, then sure. So that's the first thing to understand. The other part, I'm not sure if I caught the other part of the question. I kind of lost it. So what was the other part of the question?
Basically, just finding out how somebody gets involved in these kind of complex advanced strategies and at what price point. But you've answered that, because I think that there's often a mindset that says, I'm not big enough to take advantage of the tax code opportunities that are available. But people do forget about that primary residence, and it may have gone up in value in areas like Cupertino, where the federal tax code doesn't give a capital gains exemption because it doesn't understand that different markets have different price points. And also, now that the SALT levels are different for New York and California, we have people trying to leave those high cost markets and move to less expensive markets like North Carolina and Georgia. And so when they move to less expensive markets, they're going to pull off those proceeds. And so that's where I think you've got to remember as a realtor to advise your clients that when they've got this giant bucket of proceeds, they don't have to plow it all back into the next house. And that may not be the best thing for them, but the best thing may be to talk to other people and put together bigger strategies. And it's available. This is not just for Rockefellers or for Bill Gates. This is for regular people too. But as Brett said, if you don't have a ton of equity coming out, maybe not yet, but it's something to be educated on so that as you grow your investment strategy over time, you know it's available.
Absolutely. Let me touch on that real quickly. Now, that's great context, and thank you for sharing that. So this also works for business owners, okay? So we've done veterinarians, we've done optometrists, right? We've done dentists, we've done car dealerships, okay? So unlike the 1031 exchange, which basically is just for this very small sliver, which is investment real estate, that's the only thing it works for. A 1031 does not work for a primary home, okay? The deferred sales trust works for businesses. It works for investment real estate. It works for a primary home. We're doing a horse deal in Kentucky right now. And so if you don't know, if you buy a horse, it's subject to capital gains tax if you can sell it for a higher price. We're doing a Bitcoin deal right now, okay? We've done thousands of closes, okay? And by the way, this kind of answers me a little bit of your other question. The regular person, or I haven't heard of it, too good to be true. No, it is for anybody. The best analogy I have is you go to your medical doctor and you've been with him for 20 years and he's giving you general advice, but all of a sudden you need brain surgery or knee surgery or something very specialized. Just because your general doctor doesn't understand brain surgery in its entirety doesn't mean that brain surgeon has had thousands of successful patients who have, we like to say, have never died on the operating table and have never gone to jail. So that's the key. We've survived 14 no change IRS audits. The biggest one was a $125 million deal in San Diego. And then we've been scrutinized by the IRS for 24 years. So all that being said, it works for just about anything that's highly appreciated as long as you hit those benchmarks. And we're the team to do that, right? We realize that you haven't been thinking about taxes maybe ever except until the time you sell. But at a certain point, you didn't believe, you didn't know about a 1031, right? And then all of a sudden, someone educated you on it.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden you said, oh, that helps me and my clients? Great. Same thing with the deferred sales trust. By the way, not to be confused with the Delaware statutory trust, which are both DSTs. Some of your listeners may have heard of a Delaware, which is just another form of a 1031. We're not a Delaware. We're not a 1031. We are a deferred sales trust.
Okay. So let's say there's a hypothetical. There's a small business owner whose business has grown so much that their revenues are now exceeding $1 million a year. And they're looking to get into investment real estate because they're trying to do something with all that cash. Can the cash sit in a deferred trust while they look for real estate, or does it have to be real estate first before it can be in that deferred trust?
Oh, so there's no limitations there. So let's just walk through a deal, okay? So I had a gentleman, he sold an asset for about $1.9 million. He paid off all of his debt and he put about $800,000 into the trust. Now it's sitting in the trust. Where's that? Bank of New York Mellon, Charles Schwab, TD Ameritrade, some of the largest banks in the world, and it's sitting there. And then it can be invested if and when they want to at any time, into securities, into real estate, into hard money lending, into developing real estate. There's no limitations for the like kind or the timing, so that's off. The only limitation is 20% of it must stay liquid. So if it was $1 million deal, 200,000 must stay liquid. But essentially, you can sell a business and it's kind of like you're 1031ing into a piece of real estate, but you're using the deferred sales trust, right? So, but once we're in the trust, if we want to stay tax deferred, we're always in the trust. We're just directing the funds from the trust to the new real estate asset.
So the last question I'll ask you, because it totally rolls in with, you mentioned IRAs and we've talked about how people buy property. When somebody has a deferred trust with you, they've plowed their proceeds over there, they're sitting and waiting, and then they find the best opportunity, has the right cap rate, it's got the right cash on cash return. When they pull the trigger, do they own it or does the trust own it?
Great question. They own it within a JV partnership with the trust. And this is how we get the new depreciation schedule. So follow me here, Lee. Let's imagine you own a $10 million multifamily property for the last 27 and a half years. So you're fully depreciated. Remember, depreciation is the number one reason, one of the number one reasons to own real estate, because it offsets the income that's coming in. Okay, but as soon as you run out of that depreciation, that's not so good. So if you do a 1031 exchange, guess what? That depreciation schedule travels, which is not good. But if you buy that same property through the trust by doing a JV partnership with the trust, you get a brand new depreciation schedule.
Oh, for
real? So this is really how this works, okay? So you sold the property. Yes, yes, yes. You sold the property for $10 million, right? And your brain will be turning all night, because once you learn about this, this is what we do every single day. You sell and the proceeds go into the trust. And let's imagine you would have paid $4 million in tax, but instead you did the deferred sales trust. So 10 sitting there. The next day, or let's say day 181, or again, a couple of years from now, when you find that perfect deal, we like to say the deal that hits you over the head, right? It just hits you over the head and you would be stupid not to take the deal. Like, wait for that buyer's market or that opportunity or that distressed seller. That is optimal timing on your terms, okay? So it hits you over the head. What do? Well, you've been sitting in very conservative securities. I mean, very conservative stuff, where you're not dropping by 30%, and you're just waiting. And then what do? You form an LLC, Lee. You're the managing member of the LLC, and you actually partner with the trust. And let's just say $8 million, because that's what's available. The other $2 million needs to stay there, goes into the LLC. Now, you're running that deal the same way you would have. The only difference is the trust put up 100% of the down payment, but you, Lee, are 80% owner of that LLC. Why is that? Well, you're doing the sweat equity. You're finding the deal. You're managing the deal. You're doing everything. This trust is just a silent partner. Now, it does have preferred return, and it does get 20% of the upside. It's commercially reasonable with the IRS. This is why we have the 80-20. This is why we have the preferred return. We mirror the note, 8%. For that preferred return. But let's fast forward. That $10 million deal is now worth, let's say, $5 million 5 years from now. What do? Well, you got to pay back the original down payment that the trust put up. You got to pay back the original preferred return. And then you got to pay back 20% of that $5 million. But guess what, Lee? You put up zero down payment yourself, but you get 80% of that upside. Okay? What can you do at that point? Well, you can roll that all into the trust, and you have one trust and you have multiple notes. This is the neat part too. You could slowly sell individual assets and just roll it and consolidate into one deal. So I'll pause there, because I said a whole lot and you might have some questions.
No, I'm just, as you said, my brain is already spinning about a client that I need to call right now and make an introduction so that he and his wife can look at this as an option, because the idea that you can reset your depreciation and be able to continue growing your money is huge. And friends, if you're listening to this or watching this and you're like, this is way over my head, look, get Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Do that with your kids. Get the cash flow game. Play that with your kids during coronavirus. So start building some foundation blocks. And then bookmark this episode, because as you start to realize that your money can be working a whole hell of a lot harder for you than it already is, you'll start to say, these strategies might not be for me today, but it could be 5 years and 10 years from now. Or maybe you know someone with this kind of money and you learn these things and bring them in. Maybe you find some partnerships, but of course, bring in lawyers and CPAs before you set up partnerships with anybody, because you got to have good relationships. So holy crap. So Brett, you're totally opening up a whole Pandora's box here, and my episodes are always pretty short on my podcast. So where do people find you if they have additional questions about how this works, how they can get started in it, how they can plan to use it in the future? besides going to your podcast, which I'm making sure I can show them the capital gains. Oh, there's a capital gains capitalism podcast. I might have to listen to that one. I always love when I'm searching for a podcast, I find other things here. So guys, there was a whole bunch of investor things on here. I can't answer for all of them, but I can tell you that Brett is looking at a different angle here. So Brett, tell them how they can find you and reach out to you with questions.
Absolutely. So it's Capital Gains Tax Solutions Podcast is the podcast. And then you can go to capitalgainstaxsolutions.com. We also encourage you to get our free guide there when you go there. Just sign up. It's like a 4-page guide. It's called Escape Feeling Trapped by Capital Gains Tax. And the other place would be YouTube. We have 3 to 5 minute videos where we're answering all of these questions. They can empower you and you can slowly consume some of the information. So thank you, Lee, for showing that. I appreciate that.
Man, people need to give you some reviews, but just a new podcast.
I'm actually not launched yet. So I'm officially launching May the 4th. So if you're listening to this after May the 4th, go and subscribe and do it. But if not, then don't do it.
Well, actually, you should go look at it anyway and listen. And if you like it, you should go ahead and give some stars and some ratings and give a review, because that's what helps people find good podcasts and good information. Yes. It's not a bunch of crap. So you should do the same thing for mine. You should give Crazy Shit 5 stars in a review so we can keep bringing you more information. Brett, thank you for coming on the show. And for everybody who did not write down any of his information because you were sitting there going, holy smokes, I can do this. It's okay, because all of the links and information are in the show notes for this episode, so you can learn, grow over time, because this is not an instant strategy. None of this is fast money. This is how your smart money grows over time. So Brett, thank you for bringing your insights and input to the show. I'm excited to find out what you're going to do for the clients I'm going to connect you to here shortly.
Thanks, Lee. My pleasure. And it's just a ball to be on your show. I really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. All right, guys, if you have things you need to know about or want to share with the audience here at Crazy Shit in Real Estate, see, not everything is about porn and sex. Some of it is just about the crazy ins and outs of tax and money structure, because that all matters too. So subscribe, 5 stars. I'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more Crazy Shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.